This is TWIT, This Week in Tech, for May 22nd, 2005, episode number 6.
And it looks as though we're in for a splendid afternoon sport on this, the 127th Upper Class TWIT of the Year show.
And now for something completely different.
We are all TWITs now.
What a great TWIT!
Excellent. Yeah.
Get underway, ladies and gentlemen. It is This Week in Tech, episode number 6. And on the line with us, Yoshi.
Hello.
Yay, Yoshi. We got Robert Herron.
Hello.
We also have David Prager joining us for the first time since the pilot. Hey, David.
Guten Tag.
Hey.
Patrick Norton is here. Well, at least I see his icon, but I don't see him, so he's wandered off. He said he wanted to get a soda. Maybe he ran out and he's gone down the street to 7-Eleven. A little later on, Roger Chang will join us to talk about E3. The big game show conference is over, but Roger was there, Robert was there, David Prager was there. A lot of you were visiting, so we'll get some input on that. And, of course, your questions coming up. And then, sorry to say, Kevin's not with us live today because he's still in Canada. I don't know what happened. He went up to do the TV show this week and he never came back.
But yeah, maybe he liked it too much.
He liked it a lot. But we did record. I took him out to the Kit Kat Club, and we recorded his big announcement, because there's a couple of big announcements from Kevin Rose coming up later in the show. Let's take a look, though, at the top stories of the week, starting off with Google. Google's been very busy, not only with their iGoogle or google.com/IG. I guess it's their answer to Yahoo's My Yahoo. They also have announced that there's some we'll get the story on this from Yoshi, some issues with China. And then Steve Ballmer, I love this, gives an interview in Business Week in which he says, Google, they're a one-hit wonder. Yoshi, what's going on with Google in China?
Well, basically, first of all, Google, I do not think, is a one-hit wonder. But as far
I think
as Google
that's
in China,
safe to say.
They're opening offices over there because they, like Yahoo moved over there, they want to move their search market into China. China does a lot of filtering, that kind of thing, over there, domestic internet users being able to see outside of China which websites. Yahoo actually agreed to censor the results. And now there's some talk of, will Google do the same? And a lot of people are really kind of going, hey, Google's like, it's like the press. They want freedom, you know, of information. They don't want them to say which information you can get. It kind of brings to, it's like an ethical thing. Is it right to censor the results?
But China could say, no, if you don't do it, we're not going to let you in. I mean, China is actively censoring sites right now. They're blocking IP addresses.
Oh, yeah, of course. They definitely could. My feeling is, I think Google should say, then fine, don't let us in.
It's the biggest market in the world, though, isn't it? I mean, billions of people.
It comes down to, is their company about the ethics and the information they provided? And the reason why people like Google is because you can get a lot of good information. Or is it just a matter of making a buck? Because right now, they're already a huge company. They're not a one-hit wonder. They're going to be around for a while. They got a lot of good stuff coming up.
Is there such a thing as a 100-hit wonder?
I don't think so.
If you look at Google Labs, there's dozens of things. Has anybody used the new Google portal?
I started playing with it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's real simple. It's a lot simpler than Yahoo's, if you ask me, which is one of the things I've always liked about Google's search engine.
Well, the thing I like is, as you say, it's simpler, so it doesn't clog up your page, but it's got, you know, news. You can have Slashdot or the Times or Wired News or the BBC or Google News. It also has a quote of the day, a word of the day. You can look at your Gmail box, driving directions, weather, movies. You know, it's got access to the Google services. My favorite thing is you can drag them around live, which you can't do on Yahoo. So you can rearrange your page just dragging it around. Mm-hmm. That's so slick.
It is. It is. I have it as my homepage now.
Yeah, me too. How about you, Robert? Have you looked at it?
I haven't used that particular service yet, but Google's actually one of the Google Lab tools I use is their search tool that allows you to suggest beta, where it types in and fills in the characters as you're typing. Then the other cool thing related to the new mapping function is that, have you seen the site that basically married Craigslist to Google Maps?
Yeah, isn't that
allows
cool?
You to, I love that. That's just, you can do home searches, apartment searches, anything you like, and you can even overlay the satellite information that they acquired from Keyhole.
It makes sense, because if you're doing a Craigslist search for a rental, it'll generate a Google map with pins in it for all the rentals that are available. You click on that pin, and so you know where they are.
And like you said, you mentioned the ease of the interface, where you can click and drag around. And it's such a simple thing, but at the same time, it makes it so easy to use.
This Google Suggest is kind of cool. What do you think of this? You enter in sleepy, dopey, grumpy, and then it fills in the rest of the seven dwarfs. I did try. I have to say I tried Patrick, Leo, Kevin, and nothing happened. So it's not perfect. I guess we're not on the list.
Is there a submission system for that?
Yeah, submit to Google. That's the suggest. That's the submission. There's a Google Ride Finder now. You can find taxis, limousines, or shuttles and locate them in real time. Don't you love this? One-hit wonder.
You notice they're also perfectionists because they keep everything in beta forever until they have it to their satisfaction.
Gmail's still in beta.
Everything's still in beta.
It is.
I gotta wonder if Microsoft's kind of salty of some of their people going over to Google with all the talk of the Google OS.
Well, do you think there'll be a... What is the deal on Google OS? You think they'll do that?
I think it's vaporware at this point, but... Yeah. There are definitely some of the people that have gone over to Google from Microsoft.
Look at the list, the job listings on the Google Labs. If you're passionate about these topics, you should work at Google. Look what they're looking into. Artificial intelligence, computer architecture, computer graphics, data compression and mining, file system design, genetic
algorithms,
machine learning, profiling, robotics. This is stuff they want to do.
Sounds like the beginnings of an operating system, if you ask me. But
especially this file system. What would, you know, I mean, unless they're going to do a Google FS. What's that all about?
Never know. I'm looking forward to seeing
what. Well, Google FS is what their entire search, their entire cluster of computers is based upon. Multiple redundancy, cheap boxes.
So they're doing it in-house, you think?
Is their file system?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, it's for it.
But it'd be interesting to see for enterprise class solutions. You know, it could be a real challenge.
I have to say, I mean, I think what we're really seeing when you see Ballmer do something like that, what you're really seeing is Microsoft admitting that they don't have anything. They've got another year before their operating system update. They got another year before Office. It's time to spread the FUD. Right?
Run!
Patrick Norton is here, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about that, Patrick. I don't know. We kind of messed up somehow.
It turned out I logged in on the machine downstairs.
Okay.
And strange and unfortunate things happened.
You're still a little crackly on us, so we'll see if we can fix that up. I want to apologize to everybody, by the way. We're still doing this in Skype, as you probably can tell, until we get the recorders. They didn't arrive yet, so... but maybe by next week we'll have it all good. I'm going to be in New Orleans next week. I don't know how we're going to do the show, by the way.
New Orleans.
Can we do the show a day late because of Memorial Day weekend?
Oh.
Monday afternoon?
That'd be
perfect.
I'd
say so. Everyone, no one's driving into work Monday anyway.
That's
so
right.
They're driving.
Thank you, Yoshi. The spin meister. Item number two, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about WiMAX. David Prager is excited about new Wi-Fi and CDMA solutions.
Do I get to mock David since I've written like four columns on WiMAX in the last 3 weeks?
Oh, David. you guys will be in complete agreement.
No, I'm interested to talk about it. I am not necessarily too ecstatic about it.
Really? Why not?
Well, and this the upload speed isn't nearly as quick, but I have been using some of these 3G systems on the CDMA backbone, and I'm really impressed with really being able to go anywhere.
You think
at least
cell,
as far as
cell,
wait,
you think the
are
cell
you talking
wires.
About? Are you talking about 3G or are you talking about WiMAX, David?
No, I'm talking about 3G. I only brought it up because of the fact that all this stuff about 802.11n and what they're going to ratify has been in the
right.
forefront. And I've been using this Verizon 3G service.
Well, you're in LA. You're lucky because the 3G in LA is amazing.
Well, are you using the EVDO stuff, Praise?
Yep.
Cool.
It's pretty fast, isn't it? In fact, fast enough so you can watch TV at 30 frames a second on your cell phone.
Well, the reason I was trying it is because we're trying to fly a kite on the beach. And put it on the internet, and so we thought we needed to get something in the middle of nowhere that gives us broadband, and that's what we thought.
How do you follow?
Verizon says
somebody's butt. Well, you fly a kite on the beach with a whip.
No, something like that. No, Verizon says you're not supposed to serve this stuff, but we'll let you try it for the stunt purpose.
Oh, cool.
For the stunt's sake. Yeah.
So you're going to use EDVO to do a web server.
Yeah. Now, of course, the uptime isn't as good as the down, and of course, it's nowhere near the throughput of the WiMAX, but it's still getting, you know, it's significantly faster than any kind of dial-up you'll ever get, and you can get it just about anywhere.
No, you can get it in 34 markets.
Right, but they're rolling it out fast, more and more markets very quickly. Verizon,
sure they are.
Well, no, they are. I mean, it. You know, if you can get it in Providence, Rhode Island now, I mean, it's pretty amazing that you can get it.
No, I mean, they've got 34 really weird market choices. I mean, that's what's odd about where they rolled it out, because they didn't roll it out in San Francisco and they didn't roll it out in a couple other major.
Patrick,
states.
Remember cable modems, which were rolled out in Fremont, which is a small town in Silicon Valley, years before they rolled it out in San Francisco. In fact, Comcast didn't roll out cable in San Francisco, cable modems in San Francisco, till way late.
Yeah.
So I think that there, you know, there may be good legitimate market reasons. I know At Home didn't do it because they didn't want to be swamped. They wanted to slowly grow the network, and that may well be what Verizon's thinking.
It'll be interesting to see how long it takes them to really upgrade the rest of their network with that.
Hot item right now, and I know, Patrick, you'll have something to say about this. Yahoo announced this week that Yahoo will have music, will have unlimited downloads for $5 a month, $4.99 when you sign up for a year. That brings the cost of music down to practically nothing.
Well, did you hear what Mark Cuban said about that?
Yeah, I love it. Go ahead, tell us.
Mark Cuban said that, well, if you get an unlimited number of legal music downloads, that means the RIAA can no longer sue anybody for more than $5 per month they were violating, you know, peer-to-peer file trading, because obviously the value of the music, of an unlimited amount of music, is $5 per month indefinitely.
Yeah, what are they going to charge you for damages? $5? Oh my gosh, he owes us $60. Now the issue, of course, and I asked a lawyer about this, and you're right that the compensatory damages are now effectively $5 a month, because that's how much it's worth. But they still go for statutory damages and punitive damages. So you could, this doesn't let you off the hook. But what it means, and this explains why the record companies and the movie industry go to Congress with bags of money, because they need there to be statutory penalties so that they can get some, you know, these lawsuits carry some weight. But you're right, $5 a month. What's it worth?
But he said the files were legal.
They're legal, man.
They nailed me on statutory file trading.
Yeah, you don't want to go to prison for that, man. They really treat you poorly. Oh, he's a file trader. Go get him. You're my bitch now, baby. So here's the question. So you can get on Rhapsody, it's what, $14 a month, but Rhapsody lets you play it on three different computers and your MP3 player, if it has this Microsoft Place for Sure on it. Yahoo, one computer, any MP3 player with Plays for Sure. Now, that's not a huge set. Which would you choose? $5 a month, one computer? $14 a month, three computers?
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of a swamp either way. I think Yahoo's mostly going to get people who are really loyal and really into Yahoo more than anything else.
I'm attracted to it. Don't you think? It makes me want to swap my iPod for a Creative.
Well, have you used the Creative? I mean, the Creative players have gotten a lot better.
By the way, 192 kilobit WMA.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good quality.
Is it only WMA?
Yeah, I'd like to see.
Yeah, WMA
like
only.
It's time for iTunes to start upgrading the quality of their downloads.
Predictions for you, ladies and gentlemen. Well, there's no lady in here, but if there were, I would have a prediction for her, too. Next month, WWDC, I think Apple's going to pull the switch. I think Apple has to do a subscription model now on iTunes Music Store. I think they're going to, and in order to do that, they have to announce new iPods. I think they will, and I think they may well do a video iPod this next month. What do you think?
Well, they're already offering video through iTunes.
Exactly. They upgrade iTunes to 4.8. All of a sudden, it shows video. Does that? What do you think? The clues are there.
I guarantee they're releasing a video iPod. I don't think they're doing it next month. I'd be surprised if it's that quick. But maybe
August in Macworld.
There's two. I mean, last year at the D conference, which is the Wall Street Journal conference for technology executives, is when they announced the Airport Express. And I think what's going to happen, a lot of people are saying that the next iPod major development is going to be wireless headphones, which I've heard from two or three different directions. There's a lot of people who are saying that Steve is still really, really down on creating a video iPod, and a lot of people don't think that there's the cooperation there from the motion picture studios. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. The other thing, the other really strong rumor is that they're going to do WMA support on the iPod, which I can't believe. But on the flip side, it's a really interesting idea. So, you know, supposedly they're going to do WMA and Ogg Vorbis support.
You said that they have the hooks in there, but it's not connected to anything yet. Somebody told me that.
Was I'm sorry, you? I couldn't understand what.
Somebody told me, I don't remember if it was you, Patrick, that the hooks are in there, the icons are in there. They just haven't hooked them up to anything.
Yeah, some people notice in 4.8 there's some undeveloped links in there that have some interesting promise.
WMA,
and Ogg Vorbis and WMA.
I think big announcements. And I think they want to do it early in the summer because I think they want to get the college kids, a summer-long buying spree, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, did anybody see Hillary Rosen's column she did online where she was whining because the iPod and iTunes are a closed system?
Well, she's right. If you're an iPod user, you're stuck with the iTunes Music Store. And vice versa. If you have the iTunes Music Store, you got to buy an iPod. I think she's – I mean, I don't know what her dog is in this hunt, but I think she's right. I mean,
well, she was upset that she couldn't WMA encoded tunes on an iPod. That right. was a big complaint. Steve, free my music.
Free the music. Yeah, well, it ain't going to ever be free, and it's Hillary Rosen and people like her that are keeping it from being that way. Where is she now? She left the RIAA. Is she a consultant now, or what's she doing? Lobbyist?
I don't know what she... Let's do a quick search on Google.
You missed our Google discussion. We decided that Google is not a one-hit wonder. So this is what I think. Microsoft's just kind of on the offensive, and I mean they're offensive. You got Ballmer saying Google's a one-hit wonder a couple of weeks ago. You've got Gates saying the iPod's a one-hit wonder. I think they're just this is wishful thinking at this point.
Well, and their new Xbox is a big friend to the iPod.
Good point. Hey, you know what? It's time to get our E3 roundup from Roger Chang. So, David, that means I'm going to put you out to pasture. I want to thank you for joining us. What are you doing these days? You're still at the G4, yes?
Yeah, still working there on the current incarnation of screensavers.
Attack of the show.
Attack of the show.
Ratings correct. Good. I understand. Things are
they've
going
gone up significantly, so it's really interesting to see what they're how it's going. So,
all right, well,
and of
good.
Course, the CEO is pleased.
Well, we're gonna have you be a regular, I know, on the Twitcasts down the road. I have to say, right now we have this issue with Skype, which we can only get 5 people in here. So, in order to get our CES coverage in from Roger Chang, I have to let you go. But thanks for being here.
Be sure and ask Robert Heron to get his cousin's input on E3 as well.
His cousin. Who's your cousin?
His cousin.
Oh, my cousin works for G4, so.
Oh.
And he's arguably the most knowledgeable person about gaming I've ever met in my life.
Oh, wow. So. All right. All right. Hey, thanks.
Hey, thanks very much.
Take care. Take care.
All right, bye.
All of us together now. One more time. Prager! Prager! Prager!
Oh. Classic.
he turned into a pretty darn good producer. I mean, he's the guy who arranged the web server up the guy's colorectal area. He booked the surgeon and everything. I mean, that's, you know... That's good.
That and the amount of work he does.
he works hard, I tell you.
Yep.
There's Roger Chang, ladies and gentlemen. Roger, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you very much, guys.
Roger Yahweh Chang. Both Roger and David were on the original pilot for this and haven't shown up since, but we've brought them.
Yeah, work kept me away.
You're working at... Now, okay, we're going to say you're working at where you're working, but you do not represent them.
Yes, I work currently for GameSpot, the division of CNET, but I will not speak on their behalf at this time.
So anything he says is his own opinion, ladies and gentlemen. So how was CES? You were there all week, right?
I was at E3. But
what
yes.
was I saying? Yes, E3.
It was actually very, very involved in my end. We got there last Saturday to set up our booth because GameSpot is not only covering it but was also an exhibitor in the West Hall next to the Sony and Nintendo booth. And my responsibility was to get the stage and all the various elements, the lights, the cameras and stuff up and running in time for the Wednesday show.
So you actually did stuff on stage for it?
Yeah, I mean, I basically told the guys, well, the lights, I need the lights here, 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 raise this high. I had to put those lights on a dimming board, found out that the dimming board was located 55 feet up in the rafters. Had to find a way to throw the cable. This is a funny story because I originally asked the booth contractors, the ones that we contracted to build it, I needed a lighting board, you know, at an easily accessible location. But the way it was located, it was up like 55 feet. You would need a union pass or an electrical union pass to basically get up there and then have a union electrical guy to show you around because, you know, you can't do anything.
One of those $20,000 plug-in a cable.
Yeah, and essentially there's this huge hoop of cable that, you know, DMX cable, which is essentially a 4-pin XLR that controls the lighting board to the actual lighting unit. So I basically had one of our guys, or one of the builder guys, come up with me and basically throw the line over one of the cross beams on the convention ceiling so it would drop right into our booth.
Wow, that sounds like a scene from, you know, Lara Croft. Did he swing it around and throw it up in the air?
Yes, it was quite humorous, if not for the fact that I was in a very big rush to get everything up.
How many throws did it take him?
The first one, we basically threw a lead line, so it would have a tape at the end. It would pull it out. But the guy that was helping us forgot to hold the other end. So it just fell over to the other side. So we had to get another piece of rope in.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was very, very amusing slash.
What union do you have to be in to throw stuff up into the roof of the?
You don't have to be. So. You just need the union approval. You can't do anything without the Teamsters.
I'm in the local 4344, the rope throwing union. They toss in the rope over the thing union. That's me.
Yeah.
That's me.
But it was a good show. It was a very good show. Lot of people.
All the mainstream media obviously covered the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
Was that really the big story?
The hardware was key. I mean, that was what everyone around was looking for. They were looking for all those hints that either the CEO or the spokespeople would drop and like, oh, it's going to have that. It's going to have that. You know, what titles we're going to roll out for the various platforms. Microsoft, I think, basically went out of the gate with the MTV show that they did. Unfortunately, that show was more geared toward, you know, hey, look at the, it was more like an infomercial. It was more of a, this is the Xbox 360. And less of this is what's inside the 360, and this is, you know, basically more of the technical elements.
Well, that
of
makes
the machine.
Sense. But I think they were trying to get the attention before E3.
Exactly.
Because they
were
afraid of what Sony's PlayStation 3 announcement would look like, and I think they did get scooped. And you know who I really feel sorry for? Nintendo.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Nintendo really didn't have that much compared to the other.
They announced a handheld and a console.
Well, they announced a lot of Air is what they announced.
But they didn't get any attention for it.
Go ahead, Patrick. I mean, Patrick's on the right track. I mean, they basically announced something they did not have yet. They announced the Nintendo Revolution, which, you know, if you've seen pictures of the USA Today for that, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, it looks like a broadband modem on its side. And the thing is, especially in the video game industry, it's like, you know, as all very media hyped industries are, you know, it's the numbers, it's those keywords. Nintendo referred to as 2 to 3 times more powerful than the GameCube, while Sony was saying that the PS3 was on orders of 10 times more powerful. I mean, than the PS2. I mean, it's very semantic oriented. You know, what does that mean? 10 times more powerful, 3 times. But when people pick up on just the numbers, the 10, the 3, and then they start thinking, well, you know, the PS3 is going to be 10 times more powerful.
So it's
than
better.
The PS2.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, so
the article I saw said it was 35 times more powerful than the PS2.
Yeah, and my daddy can beat up your daddy.
and it's 2 teraflops. How many teraflops are you? Little wimp. Boy.
Yeah, you know, and I doubt any of those teraflops would be able to calculate, you know, any engineering, you know, stress test, you know, to see where would
so bend. which is the better machine? Is it the 3.2 gigahertz 3.2 gigahertz power PCs plus a 500 megahertz ATI in the Xbox 360 or the Cell processor running at 3 plus gigahertz in the PlayStation 3.
You know, it's how do you decide? I mean, they're different architectures. I mean, you know, you have a multi-core G5 in one, then you have not only a power PC derivative, but basically entirely new Cell architecture. No one's ever kind of seen that before in a home entertainment device. So, you know, the expectations are high, but you know the expectations high were for the PS2 when they announced the Emotion Engine. Everyone was expecting to be bowled over, and when it came out, you know, people are having, you know, developers having, you know, the first games are always going to be kind of, you know, a little shoddy because developers haven't had time to exploit the power. You know, it's been, what, 4 or 5 years later?
The first year of the PS2, it took them to figure out how to program to it.
It was so hard to
write. And then all of a sudden, the games got spectacular.
Did you see anything about the type of cooling they're going to use also? Because I heard there were some rumors of liquid cooling.
I didn't hear any specifics, and I don't want to draw any conclusions, you know, just saying, like, yeah, that's going to have, you know, a huge water vat cooler that connects to your, you know, refrigeration unit in your kitchen to keep you cool.
Did an ounce of a new video card, though, that's on their site, I believe, right now, that offers liquid metal cooling. It's the new X850.
Where you got mercury running through?
It's some, you know, metal alloy that supposedly can transfer heat 60 times or 65 times better than water, so.
Well, I wonder if it's that liquid sodium. They developed something like that for nuclear reactors until they found out it was unreliable. But
I love Roger. He's like the only guy reads Jane's, you know, military guides for bedtime reading. What
History Channel buff.
Why, yes, they did use that in the 1942. So let me ask you this. The rumor was that Microsoft's kiosk demos of the Xbox 360 weren't running on an Xbox, but running on Apple Macs, G5.
Yeah, I personally was not able to get out there because I was chained, but figuratively I was chained to my booth. But yeah, people were saying that a lot of the demos were not running.
How about Sony's? Were they real?
They just showed the video. They had no box to show other than the announcement they made. There was no hardware. And that's where Microsoft is trying, I think they're trying to leverage, is like, hey, we have a tangible product that you can touch that will work. I mean, even the prelim.
Even if it is an Apple Macintosh.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a surprising thing, and I probably shouldn't let this out, but
go ahead, tell us.
A lot of the games that I've seen so far, you know, are all running on development units. None of it is the official, you know, this is the final Xbox 360.
You expect that.
So it's not surprising to see that, you know, at E3. It's because they're either working out the kinks or figuring out how to, you know, produce this in mass quantities without, you know, costing Microsoft an arm and a leg.
When is the Xbox 360 hit the...
It's supposed to come out this fall, basically in time for the holiday shopping season.
And it's not till March of next year for the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, and you know, and it remains to be seen if what the price point for the PS3 will be. Most people are probably speculating around $300, because any more than that, you're going to price yourself out of the market.
Sales of the PSP still robust?
Yes, PSP, you know, is doing, you know, pretty well. There's nothing. I mean, people have been so used to the Game Boy, and then you come out with essentially what is a little downgraded version of the PS2, a Dreamcast level, you know, console in your hand. I mean, the graphics are I would have to say very, very, very nice. I
love, you know, the PSP. We've talked about it before, of course, but
it's great. I mean, the battery life isn't as great as what would, you know, one would expect from a handheld, especially if you're a frequent flyer that has to travel 5+ hours. On an air,
I'm going to make you spend.
I've been able to get like 4.5-5 hours out of
mine.
It's
been pretty good. I've been happy. Yeah, I'm going to make you spend money, guys. Imaginary money on imaginary game consoles. Robert Heron, PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360?
PlayStation 3.
Yoshi,
without a doubt.
Xbox.
How about you, Roger?
Xbox, just because it supports it will act as a Windows Media Extender.
That's really what they're going to do. They put a hard drive in there, and they didn't put a hard drive
in
there.
And the ability to... And, I mean, you know, I think Microsoft has hit the nail on the head. Sony was really pushing the technical specs of their machine, and Microsoft was trying to kind of spin the whole, this is what it's going to do for your lifestyle, how it's going to fit
Patrick,
in.
Xbox or PlayStation 3?
Oh boy!
I gave you time.
whichever one MotorStorm comes out on first, which I think is going to be the PS3.
All right, so I've got two PS3s, two Xboxes. I'm going to break the tie. It's Xbox, but I might get a PS3 too if the games look that good. They look pretty good.
You didn't say that. I'm probably going to buy both.
Well, both.
That and
both.
High definition output. So far, Microsoft hasn't said how they're going to do it, and there is no word for anything like a digital video out, like DVI or HDMI.
They're not all interested.
And once again, you're going to have to buy a separate AV box just to get S-video or even component output. They're saying there's going to be no upscaling of DVD content to high-definition resolutions.
HD. It's not going
to
be HD.
No, I mean, it will be capable of HD resolutions, but the only connector on the physical box itself that's somewhat official at this point is a simple composite output.
Oh, interesting. But they did do that with the old Xbox where they had a connector and then you could buy a composite component.
Yeah, I mean, they all do the multi-AV outs because it's cheap.
Right.
You don't have to build them into the
still, you think
the
they'd
box.
Be you think they'd have a DVI. Stating flat.
Yeah, but you know, Sony also says that, you know, it'll support two HDTV outputs at the same time for the PS3. But, I mean, you know, is that really realistic? Are you going to expect people to have...
Will they be digital or not? That's my real only question.
You want digital. And that's... As long as it's digital, it doesn't matter what kind of connector you have.
But, it's... You got to work for what, you know, a majority of your audience will have at any one time when they have in the living room.
Odds are Microsoft's going to create...
And you also have to...
An AV pack will offer that, so...
Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah, but Microsoft also likes to make money on upselling accessories. I mean, think of all the accessories that should have been in the box in the Xbox.
I like the DVD remote control that you had to buy $30 to get DVD. Well, how about this, though? They're going to have a Blu-ray in the PS3. I mean, doesn't that sound like it's your HD DVD player?
I don't know. Has anyone found out what a majority of the studios have decided
on as a
format?
There's no agreement.
They're split. The studios are split across the two.
But of course, Sony's going to offer Blu-ray. What else would they do?
Yeah, I mean, of course, they can leverage their studio holdings to that effect. I mean, they Blu-ray, and then, hey, we have Columbia TriStar. Why don't we just leverage that entire library of movie content on Blu-ray exclusively? And that way, we can kind of force it from both ends.
Well, I'd much rather support a format, at least that's out there currently, and Microsoft's been promising HD, Windows Media 9 HD support in set-top devices for a long time now, and they're still not there.
Well, that
at least you can buy Blu-ray right now in Japan.
This brings us in a nice, smooth segue to our questions portion of the show. Now, you guys, just stay on and jump in with your answers, whatever you have to say about the questions. I'm going to try to get through 20. You want to do 20 questions? all right.
Sounds like an old Colin.
We should warn the audience right now that these are all cold questions. We have no idea what's coming.
You know, I was really incensed. I did a podcast interview the other day, and the guy said, "Well, when you did the screensavers, of course you had the earpiece, and the guy's telling you the answers on the other end."
Well, who said that to you?
That made me mad.
Who said that?
Oh, it was a podcast interview, and I think that a lot of people think that.
I know, but it's kind of like funny.
Well, I told him. I said, if you only knew who was on the other end of those earpieces, you wouldn't say that. And then most of the conversation on
the
earpieces was, shut up, speed up. You're killing me here. Question number one.
This is Brendan from Maryland. I'm really glad to hear you're all together again for a show. I was wondering if you thought that Sony's announcement that the PlayStation 3 would include iTunes capability, coupled with the fact that iTunes is now offering video sales, meant that Sony and Apple were trying to position the PlayStation 3 as a convergence device that might allow consumers to basically buy movies at home, and whether that was a real threat to rental services like Blockbuster and Netflix. Thanks, guys. Bye.
PlayStation 3, convergence device?
Well, isn't that, I mean...
Definitely, I mean...
But they don't have a hard drive in it.
It's both Microsoft and Sony are pushing it as a convergence device. Yeah. You know, Sony wants it from the hardware end because, you know, if you've noticed with the PSP, what do you need? What kind of flash memory do you need to buy for the PSP to store your games and store media content? Memory stick.
Right.
What are they going to make you do when you get a PS3? It's Blu-ray. I mean, it's basically all about consolidating a vertical integrated.
Makes no sense though to do the iTunes Music Store if you don't have a hard drive.
You know,
it's
going
to have some serious form of storage on there. So
how about a Blu-ray burner? What do you think?
Or yeah. How about just an external hard drive that you pay $50 for, your external hard drive plus your remote control is $150.
Or, you know, if it is networkable, why not network storage?
There you go.
Yeah, this is true. And then the big question is, what is their compression going to be? Is it going to be the new H.264, which is beautiful and lovely, or is it going to be something else?
It's kind of interesting because you look at right now, Microsoft pretty much owns the legitimate online and you know, kind of splits with DivX the illegitimate online distribution of feature movies. You know, you go to MovieLink or whatever. Walmart just gave up on distributing, you know, doing the mail rental DVDs. They basically gave it up to Netflix. It's like Microsoft has a pretty huge lead negotiating the deals with the studios, and I'm kind of curious whether or not, you know, the studios are the studios going to go, well, Microsoft may be doing all of our other online stuff, but we'll make everything available on, you know, the iTunes video store,
right,
if it actually ends up existing, and because they've got such a good economic model.
And may the whole thing end up being a moot point with the new competition offering $5 a month for unlimited downloads, that it might be a bundled feature of the PS3, but it could be a very unpopular one.
I got it. $20 a month, you get PlayStation Live. You get all the music you could listen to. You get networking games. You get maybe video rentals. I mean, why not just one flat fee and you get all the stuff? Wouldn't everybody go to Sony if that were the option?
For online gaming, Sony's been free to this point.
Yes.
Yeah, but, you know, with online gaming, it's been up to the developers
Didn't Microsoft eat their lunch because of that?
I'm not a big Microsoft fan, but I think their model worked better because they had total control. They made sure that whatever game you had that was Xbox Live enabled,
right,
you would have a working server to connect to. You wouldn't have to rely on EA or Ubisoft or someone else.
That's very true.
Maintain a server for everyone to join in.
Question two.
Hey, you guys. This is Jenny Rush, and I'm calling from Cary, North Carolina. And my question for you all this week is, do you think that with the leak of the Star Wars work print that came out before the Episode 3 was released in theaters, and then the resulting popularity in the theaters, which of course we all knew was going to happen, do you think that that goes to undercut the MPAA's position that sharing files is going to hurt the industry? I'm of the opinion it does nothing but enhance the excitement. So I'd like to know what you guys think. Thanks. Bye.
Star Wars in its first weekend, $50 million. Obviously, people saw that.
I have not seen it yet because I'm
not seen it.
Die down.
So good. So they made $50 million, and you guys still haven't seen it. So there's another $50 million to be made next weekend.
But I think it really depends upon the film. You get something as popular as Star Wars that people will go see it 3 or 4 times and still download it, and still buy the DVDs.
Star Wars is a weird case. It's a phenomenon. It's not just a movie.
Yeah, get something, the bad movie, and it's not going to make a difference. People are going to download it and see it and spread the word that it's crap, and no one's going to watch it.
I mean,
so it's to protect crappy movies.
That's my
opinion. I think, you know, really, it's just a way of distribution of movies in general. I mean,
now, the work print that got out had time code all through it, so big deal, right? I mean, it's a work print. It's better than something somebody recorded in a camcorder in the theater.
Yeah, with half the screen.
Yeah, some guy walking to get his popcorn.
I mean, it's kind of funny, like, people say that, you know, oh, I got the DivX version of Lord of the Rings Special Edition.
Yeah,
whatever.
They're just collectors.
But I'm one of those people that would actually go out and buy the DVD box set.
No matter what.
Because it's not only for the collection reason, it's just because the quality's better.
No, I know what you want. You want those little plasticine bookends that you get with the Hobbits.
Yeah, okay. I got a couple of books on those. But,
many of the files on the internet, though, are ripped from DVDs, so
the quality's good.
Yeah. But
they don't upload features. They don't upload menus, you know, any of that crap. It's just the movie.
That's true.
And, you know, have you found a really cool set top standalone DivX player that won't, you know, I won't have to go through some online store and shell money instead of just paying $60 at Best Buy to get a DVD player? I mean, it's just one of those things that for convenience sake, I think people would still choose a medium like DVD or something like, you know, iTunes, where it's, you know, it's pretty much well thought out for you. You don't have to go through a bunch of hurdles in order to get the thing on a freaking disc and then get a player that's compatible with that format to watch it on your TV.
You're not selling the movie or the music anymore. You're selling the experience of where you're seeing it or how you're buying it. That's the value add.
Although I think movie theaters are shooting themselves in the foot by putting ads in front of movies.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that is like the worst idea anyone has ever come up with. I mean, the whole point of going to the movie is to watch something without flaming commercials, right? And then you sit there and you watch a Samsung phone commercial, you know, a Movie Tones commercial, and a bunch of other Coca-Cola ads that you don't want to see.
Question from Dorothy. This is the woman who, by the way, designed our little twit that's on our webpage. I love that little twit guy. Isn't he cute? I think when he's on his side, I think that's an electrical symbol for, she told me it was like an inducer or something. And then you just turn him around and he's a little guy. So thank you, Dorothy. That's not, we're still, the logos are still pouring in. I don't know if we're going to have more logos or what. We're going to do T-shirts. I'm using a lot of the images throughout the site. I mean, they're all great. So thank you, everybody. Here's Dorothy's question.
Hi, guys. I'd like you to put on your Twit visionary caps and ask, what is your most optimistic vision of technology impacting on everyday life and your most pessimistic vision? And are these visions necessarily mutually exclusive? I don't have a time span, but let's just say within the next decade or two.
Patrick, you'll stand in for the pessimist. What do you think?
Terminator.
The machines take over.
Oh man, I've been doing a bunch of reading lately about the whole idea of peak oil, which is the idea that basically this economic downturn where it becomes really expensive to pull oil out of the ground, and they thought it would be 40 years from now, but they forgot that there's all these countries coming online and becoming more industrial, and China is starting to use huge amounts of crude oil, and the idea that basically life as we know it is going to end because we're going to run out of electricity and fuel to move food
over. We'll go back. Essentially, it's going to look like the story has been told in The Road Warrior. If you listen to the beginning of Mad Max, it's like basically massive global economic downturn because of the reduction of oil production. Yeah. That's where people are driving around the highway, V8, trying to clean the last gallon of gas from someone. It's kind of weird.
Down, you may as well go down in flames, right, Roger?
Why not? And then wear really cool S&M gear while you're at it.
Well, does anyone have a pessimistic, an optimistic vision for the future?
She's right. She hit on a very interesting point where she said like the pessimistic and optimistic, not necessarily.
It's going to all
exclusive.
Happen.
Exclusive. It's going to all happen, and for certain groups, and these are groups that are probably in the position least able to deal with it. Developing countries, people in economically depressed areas, people who are in regions that have capital inflow that are based on a knowledge economy, will probably be more flexible and more able to deal with it. But countries that are resource dependent, that are like, for example, countries that all they do for revenue is export coal, they export raw materials, they're going to be more susceptible to the shock because they're that one commodity export market, coffee beans, all those coffee bean growing countries, get hit when there's a glut of coffee, right? There's a price decrease and they have nothing else.
I don't know what the hell Roger's talking about. You understand what he's saying there?
Well, okay, basically, basically it's this. It's that countries
One sentence, Roger, one sentence.
Basically, it's this. I'm sorry. Basically, it's this. That people who are basically well off will be able to deal with any kind of
the rich get richer, the poor get poorer.
Yes, you are correct.
Robert, what's your scenario for the good old days? We're all going to get 1080p televisions and we'll just sit and watch.
Well, that too, but TVs will continue to get cheaper. In the next 10 years, you're going to see flat screens at outrageous sizes for $500.
Oh, I like that. See, who cares what the rest of the world's going to the hell in a handbasket? I got a big TV!
Or even better, some form of wallpaper, just to integrate the display into a wall itself, maybe an organic lady. But anyway, getting back to her question, for me, it's really about medical advances. The South Koreans right now are just pushing stem cell research into places that everyone was afraid to touch.
Yeah. They've been able to create new lines. We couldn't do it in the States. Bush said, you can't create new lines. We got enough lines. The Koreans figured out a way to do it.
And if you need a way to get up to speed on that subject, PBS has done a few episodes of shows related to that very topic, spelling out what it is they're doing.
The biotech revolution is going to make the information revolution look like nothing.
That, and I also feel very small machines is one of those items where you can build on an atomic scale machines to perform certain functions. That's one of those topics where you could see it as either being very bad or very good.
Patrick, is nanotech going to happen?
Well, nanotech's the little tiny machines is sort of the extreme forward end, or that's like the far end of nanotech. Right now, it's already starting to show up in everywhere from makeup, paint, you know, that technology that essentially, you know, was creating thousands of tiny fiberlets on fibers, so you had, you know, created better surface tension. It's not even coatings, right? But by actually modifying the fiber, by creating more surface area, by creating these little tiny fiber fingerlets off each individual fiber strand, they apply it with a chemical, but basically what it does is, it's kind of, you ever see a cat when it gets angry and it puffs out? Like, imagine, like...
This sounds
doing
like
that to a, you know, the tiniest form of a cotton.
I can't wait to write the synopsis for this
my
cast.
Hair in the morning.
Puffed up cats.
No, but on a simple.
Puffed up cats, pants, and nanotechnology.
There was a researcher, a lady researcher out of, I think, Cornell, who developed, her and a group came up with a way to take a sphere of gold, and by varying the thickness of this tiny little sphere, you could it would shift the color of the wavelength that would bounce back. So depending on, you know, how big or small or how thick or thin you make the ball itself, you could literally generate any color you wanted. And that was applying to, like, paints and other things as well. But it also had uses in the medical industry where they could actually inject these little balls that would respond to specific forms of laser light. They'd inject them into tumors and be able to operate just by shining the light and heating and destroying this one area without ever making an incision.
Guys, I made a pledge that we would keep this thing much shorter from now on. Cause it just goes on and on and on. And I know it's fun, and nobody wants to stop, but I think people need to have a podcast that's less than 4 hours long. So let's move on to the plugs because we have Kevin Rose coming up with his big announcement that he teased us with last week. And I think it is a big announcement, so I know everybody's going to want to hear it. But before we do that, Yoshi, I know you wanted to mention you've got the new videos out, right?
Yeah, we released Box 2.0 on Friday, which was that video was originally going to be in the video that we're releasing. We're releasing another one on Tuesday.
Wow.
But it got too long. So we released that one as a 15-minute standalone because it's basically about these kids we found that lived their life through the Jedi religion. And it's very interesting. Box 2 go ahead.
Where can people see it?
Oh, and fromtheshadows.tv.
Fromtheshadows.tv.
I'm hosting direct downloads to it that are linkable from there on my site so people can get nice, fast downloads.
Good.
And then Tuesdays is Vulnerability, and I'm doing another mod in that one, which will be a PSP Wi-Fi mod.
Ooh, I'm so glad you're still doing mods, Yoshi.
Yes.
That was always the best part of the screensavers. So.
Oh, I enjoyed it. And this one's kind of fun because it was presented in a way it's like before we always had a few minutes to kind of just show it off. Now I got to show it being made, which is a lot of fun.
Very, very cool. Robert Herron, anything you want to plug? What you up to these days?
Oh, still working in the labs at PC Mag, doing my thing, writing and reviewing HDTV sets, getting them in as fast as possible. Other than that, I also have a video project also on the fromtheshadows.tv that I think is in Box 3 coming out on Tuesday.
Wow. Yeah,
something I did when I was still down in L.A., and hopefully we'll get around to doing some more of that now that I'm up here in the Bay Area.
That's really great. That's really great.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are both doing downloadable video. Kevin's going to talk a little bit about system in just a second. Patrick, I know we see you on extremeipod.com and extremetech.com.
Yeah. Anybody out there with an iPod, you can win 120 free songs from emusic.com. Send a picture of us with your iPod. Don't send Photoshop pictures, because if you don't have the rights to the art and we can't prove it, we can't pick your picture, no matter how unbelievably cool you're Photoshopping.
Hey, I wanted to mention that you've been Patrick's
going to extremeipod.com or the what's that?
Extremeipod.com. Yes, let's get that plug in there. Yeah. I just want to mention, Patrick, you've been kind of the pollster on the site, on the twit.tv site, which is great. And I love these polls. We keep meaning to talk about the results. The most recent one was how people listened. Were you surprised that more than half listen on the computer?
I was actually I was kind of amazed. I figured there would be, you know, at least 30-40% listening on the computer, but it ended up being I think it was 64% last time I checked. Let me pull that up.
I think it's now gone down a little bit, but to 59%. It's still a huge number, especially compared to the portable players, which is only about 43%. So
yeah, well, 33% are on iPods or digital players. So yeah, 60% on the computer, 5% burn it to CD, and 2% other. So yeah, I was.
What would other be ahead. Like? Your cell phone? What else? What else could you listen on?
Well, you know, you could move with the tape. You could move it to your cell phone. You could. Somebody had something really in there. Let me scroll through. Somebody did something really nutty. And
crazy ways to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, we want to see. Yeah, we want somebody to cut the TwitCast to vinyl, right? You know, or 8-track. I want to find it. I want to listen to the TwitCast on 8-track.
We got to
get a vinyl cutter.
We're going to improve our audio quality before we get it on vinyl. I think.
The idea of like having a vinyl cutter would be great.
I liked. Oh yeah, Yoshi, you should build a little vinyl cutter. That'd be a nice mod.
That'd be interesting. It'd be fun, kind of a retro throwback thing.
Leo, world tour continues on Wednesday. I'll be in Athens, Ohio, for the Southeast Ohio Macromedia Users Group. We've got a link on the show page if you want to go. I'd love to see you there. We're going to have a little meetup for breakfast, and then I'm giving a speech at lunch. Registration, including lunch, is $25. And Wayne in Akron has put together a cafe press store with the Leo World Tour t-shirts. Did you see those guys? Oh, my gosh. And by the way, proceeds from that store benefit Twit, so... Thanks to Wayne for setting that up there, and Tacky for doing the art, which is far from tacky. Any other plugs you guys want to get in?
None. I have nothing to plug at this time. I work 60 to 70 hours a week. I don't really have much time to.
And Roger, you do the videos, a lot of the videos for GameSpot.com.
Yeah. The cool thing for E3 is that we actually got a lot of HDV. We got like 4 HDV cameras in. For that, and we were using Premiere Pro to cut with it. It was the first time that I actually used HDV, and it's kind of a cool format. I'll say that it's technically an HD spec, but it's a super compressed form of mini DV.
You're using the H.264, or what are you?
It essentially uses MPEG-2 to compress down. And to basically make it fit onto a mini DV tape, it crams 15 frames into a single frame. It matrixes it into a single frame. So it's kind of weird because you'll actually your software actually has to be designed for it. So you just can't use HD software. You have to use one that's HDV compatible in order to do the editing because it has to pull out those 15 frames. So you can do a frame edit.
All right, folks, we're going to roll in Kevin. Don't go away because we'll have some final words in just a bit. But Kevin Rose had a big announcement he said that he wanted to make on the show. He can't be here. He's still up in Canada. But we had some time to talk on Thursday night at the lovely Kit Kat Club in Toronto. So here he is, Kevin Rose, with the big announcement.
Here we are at the beautiful Kit Kat Club in downtown Toronto. I'm sitting across from screen star Kevin Rose. He's the babe toy magnet, the toy babe magnet.
What are you talking about?
That all the girls go for. The king of the dark tip. Kevin, tell your loving, adoring audience, what is it, this big announcement that you can't be on Twit for? What's going on?
Okay, so the big announcement is that I'm leaving G4.
What?
Yes.
You can't leave G4.
It's true.
Are they firing you?
No, they actually...
Tell the truth. It's okay. You can tell us. You're among friends.
The truth is I've been in negotiation with them for the last... Negotiations with them for the last probably close to a month now to get out of my contract.
Really? So what's the deal?
Well, the deal is I really want to do my own thing. It's like I've... For the longest time now, it feels that I've just been doing content that I'm not happy with or haven't been able to get as geeky as I want to get with the content.
Right.
And I miss a lot of the old screensavers days, and I just want to get out there and produce and create really solid downloadable tech content for the web. And the only way to do it is to actually have some time to do it, and that's to get out of my contract with G4.
Well, and this system thing is about to explode, right? I mean, this is really about to take off, this new TV on the web thing.
Yeah, it starts Monday, and yeah, that's what I'm seeing all over the place. I'm seeing more and more downloadable content, and you know, with IPTV coming up and all these different little miscellaneous set-top boxes that people are starting to buy, that they can get this all this IP-based content delivered right to their television. There's no reason why we just can't create it on our own.
Wow. Have you started a company for system and all that?
Yeah, we started a small production company, and we're going to be working on system full-time. There's four of us. Myself.
Who is involved? You and Dan?
Dan Heward. Keith Harrison, which is the old Screensavers technical director.
And he edited the Broken for you, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And Ron, who is our like chief Linux, Unix guru / tech guy. So
really, it's except for Ron, it's the old gang that did the Broken.
Yeah. See, it's the old gang that did the Broken, and we're going to be doing it full-time, putting out as many episodes as we possibly can. We're going to be selling ad space within the episodes so that different tech companies can place their ads within.
I'm proud of you. This is pretty bold. I mean, you're really turning your back on a normal, real paying gig, a national television show, to devote your time and energies to something that's fairly speculative and yet that you really believe is the future of television?
Well, it's just that, you remember when I first started Tech TV, I didn't get into this to be on TV. I really didn't want it.
No, you weren't on. In fact, tell me, I don't remember. How did you get to Tech TV? I don't remember how that happened.
Chris Krause was working there, a friend of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he
said, was an IT guy.
Right, he was an IT guy at Tech TV, and he said they had a position open. And
the inventor of the IP Chicken website.
That's right. It's ipchicken.com.
Is that still around?
Yeah, it's still around. He still makes a ton of money off that site.
You're kidding.
No, I'm so mad. He makes a ton of money off that site.
Does he do anything else or just sit there and run
IP Chicken?
He just
sits there and relaxes at home. And no, he does consulting work from home now, but...
Okay, so yeah. So he was a buddy of yours. Did you go to school with him or what?
No, it's just through a common friend. And
he said there's a job in IT, or what was the job?
Well, it was just basically being like the tech guy behind the scenes on the screensaver,
that's
setting
right.
up the computers.
You set up the computers all that stuff.
Yeah, anytime there was a demo that needed to be done, a scan line that needed to be ran, I was just the guy that took care of it. And
that lasted about a month.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, really, you were on the air very quickly.
Yeah, well, it started with that vulnerability. Remember that Windows vulnerability?
Was that the first thing you did on the air?
Yeah, you had
you
me come on.
You discovered the messenger flaw.
The way to automate it to send out to all those machines. And you were like, hey, come on the show and talk about
You're kidding.
No, it was
That
you.
Was your first time?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't me, but that was the first time.
Yeah.
No, you found something fairly significant. And remember we called Microsoft and
that's
they said,
right.
that's not a bug.
And then they patched it in the next in the next release.
Yeah. Oh, no, we did that on purpose. That's intentional.
That's right.
Oh, so that I didn't realize that was the first time. And then from there... Did you start doing things regularly? Or?
As far as on the show?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, just eventually. Remember I started doing some of the kind of shady hacker type stuff.
So you were always the Dark Tipper from day one?
From day one,
that was
yeah.
Paul Block's
name. Yeah, I didn't. I never liked that name.
You didn't?
Well, it's just kind of one of those TV things, I don't want to be called the Dark Tipper. I don't think anybody really wants to be called that. But,
Paul Block, who was the executive producer of the Screensavers, had that TV sensibility. He knew how to do...
Right.
He knew
was
this,
good like that.
This is how you market it. This is how you create a character persona.
Right.
So really, we should give him credit, because he was the guy who saw you as
Definitely.
Being a star. And you did very well. And then, of course, with the acquisition by G4...
Right. And then I
left... Actually, even before the acquisition, I left the Screensavers, and you took over for me.
Right.
So it was you and Patrick.
Uh-huh.
And then G4 took over, and then it was just you.
Right, and then it was Alex and myself.
And then Alex, that's right.
And then they
the
laid
brief
off.
Alex Albrecht era, which is, what, 2 months?
That was a lot of fun, though. I really
How
enjoyed
was that?
That show. That show was great. It was a lot of fun. We still got to do a lot of techie stuff. We did a lot of product reviews. Robert Herron was there in the labs.
You're still friends with Alex.
What's that?
You're still friends.
Oh,
in fact,
definitely.
He might be working with you on system.
Oh, yeah. I talk to Alex all the time. He's a great guy.
We'll get him on the show.
Definitely.
Yeah. So you were doing that. At what point did you start to say, this is not where I want to be?
I think that pretty much happened after they laid off Alex, Dan, Yoshi, and Robert Herron.
What was that day like? That must have been a terrible day.
That was a rough day. That was probably my worst day on the job. That was just, it was so rough because it was like, these are all some of my best friends.
Well, and they all came to L.A. to be part of the
right,
show.
Exactly.
That was 2 or 3 months later. G4, what did G4 say? We want a new direction?
I don't think, a lot of people would say that G4 like had this master plan to destroy Tech TV, but I don't think that's the case. I mean, they just wanted...
That's a little Lex Luthor.
No,
I don't think they're...
But, you've seen the forum posts and all
oh,
that.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
It's not like... that's not what G4 set out to do. I mean, they really wanted the show with Alex and I to take off, and it just didn't turn out to be the direction that they wanted it to go. And so they made modifications, and now it's an entirely different show. It's nothing.
It's doing very well, by the way.
Yeah, it's doing great, and it's actually a good show for what it is. You know, I enjoy watching it, and I like it. It's just not the tech stuff that I really want to do.
Nobody's going to believe me when I say this, but I actually think Attack of the Show is a pretty good show. The problem that you guys always had was you were being compared to the old screen
stars. Right, exactly.
And there was no way you could succeed on those terms. So leaving the name behind, starting fresh, was a smart idea. Then nobody's comparing you to anything else. How does this show stand on its own? And it's doing much better as a result.
It's doing much better. And, you know, everybody that works on the show, I have to say, like, when I first came down to G4, you know, we're kind of looking like, oh, you're the G4 people. Like, you know, everyone was kind of standoffish. And then, but they're just a great bunch of guys. I mean, they're creating a great show. And I really like Kevin Pereira. He's a great guy. Everybody that works
on
the show.
He seems like a nice guy.
He is a really nice guy. And, I am going to miss working with him. I'm going to miss working with that entire crew. But I'm glad that they finally, like, you know, they released me from my contract. Many people don't know that I was bound to G4 for, it was a four-year contract that I couldn't do anything else.
You couldn't even do what you're doing now.
Yeah, so they let me out, and they set me free, which is great. I'm thankful that they did that, and they understand. I mean, they get it. They know what I want to do, that I want to go out there and produce really cool tech stuff. And, you know, I'll probably come on the show every once in a while, or, you know, to show off some of the cool stuff that I'm doing, because it's along the same lines of what, you know, they like. So,
well, and I hope you'll come up to Call for Help in Canada and join us. As you are, that's why you're up here right now, and I hope you'll come up more often.
Oh, definitely.
You have a little more free time. And I know we're going to see the system. And the broken system and the broken SYSTM.org.
Yep, that's it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that comes
out.
Yeah.
By choice or by.
Well,
it's soon to be profitable any day now.
I'm going
to
be hungry, so I'm going to be producing a lot of content. Yeah. So.
And of course, Twit will go on. You're never leaving Twit. You're not allowed because you have no contract,
that's
so you can't get out of it. You think I'm a fool? No contract for you. You must continue for the rest of your life to do this silly little podcast.
Oh, it's fun.
All right. Well, have fun in Toronto. I'm glad you could be with us virtually.
Yes.
Enjoy your... What did you have? Salmon?
Yeah, it was great, actually. Atlantic
Salmon.
The
Kit Kat Club, Atlantic Salmon. It's different in the Atlantic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Everything is different here. That's not the Atlantic, though. You know, that's the lake. That's a lake. What is it? Lake Ontario?
What is it?
That's a lake. It looks like an ocean because you can't see the other side, but it's actually just a really, really, really big lake.
It was nice. It was a little choppy out there today.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah, we went swimming. We coated ourselves in bear grease. Kevin looks better in bear grease, frankly, than any man ought to.
I'm telling you. You look pretty good yourself, Leo, though.
Well, thank you. It's because I'm part bear. All right, well, on that fabulous image, let's take it back to the studio. Guys?
Wow. You know, when is his last day there?
He's going to announce it on the show Monday night. So this is the first time anybody's heard of it is on the TwitCast. And then he's going to announce it on the show on Monday night. And, he was able to get out of his deal. And he's going to devote all his energies to system, to IPTV.
Cool. Nice.
Nice.
You know what I find interesting is that we're all kind of doing this kind of stuff.
Well, it's like just exploding right now. It's like the thing to do.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's when geeks get frustrated. We learn to find new ways to satisfy our AV needs.
And with that, Microsoft and Yahoo are heavily investing in it, too.
Yeah, but the deal is, from my point of view, with this podcast and the stuff he's doing on system, the stuff you guys are doing, the shadows, out of the shadows, is we don't work for the man anymore, you know? Bye-bye to the man. We're doing our own thing. And, you know, the truth is, the man never understood what technology was all about. I don't know who the man is, but...
Well, the man tried to tell us how we can...
I do.
The people generating FUD.
Yes. So we're doing our thing.
Remember how cool Napster was before it was illegal and hardly anybody knew about it?
Exactly. Oh. So it's back to
the same thing
days.
With TV.
Back to those days. Hey,
back in the day, TV was more the man than it is now.
This is becoming I'll tell you, this TwitCast is really becoming the venue for big announcements. Yoshi announcing his impending wedding and baby, and now Kevin announcing he's leaving G4. Patrick, you have anything you want to announce?
Nothing new.
Roger, Roger, you getting the sex change operation? Anything you want to tell people about? Or?
Not to my knowledge, but when I do, you'll be the first to know.
Oh, hey, I have questions.
Speaking of
wait, I can hear Roger's sister crying now.
Wait a minute. Yoshi said something. Yoshi said, speaking of sex, I've got to hear this sentence. Go ahead, Yoshi.
Speaking of sex, I found out the sex of our baby, and it is a boy.
It's a boy! That's a big announcement.
We're going through all the name books now.
That's great. Congratulations. Yoshi's going to have a boy. I think that's appropriate.
Yes. I've already got a URL. You know, it's a couple years off, obviously, but I registered myfirstmod.com. So it's old enough. His mod's on there.
With any luck, he'll be doing his first mod on a TwitCast. Robert Heron.
Supercharger, Fisher-Price PC.
Yoshi, Patrick Norton, Roger Chang, and David Prager, Kevin Rose. I'm Leo Laporte. Our quote for the day from William Gibson, the author of Neuromancer. He says, "The future is here. It's just not evenly distributed yet." Have a great day. We'll see you next week on Twit. That's it for this week's TwitCast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to keep This Week in Tech commercial-free and on the air, contribute by visiting our website, thisweekintech.com. Just click the donation buttons on the right. Thanks. If you've got a question for the Twits, please leave voicemail on our Skype line, This Week in Tech, or call 206-339-TWIT. That's 206-339-TWIT. You can also email us a WAVE or MP3 to questions at thisweekintech.com. Next week, Twit will be out a day later due to the Memorial Day weekend. Look for your TwitCast at midnight on Monday instead of midnight on Sunday. And stay tuned to the Twit channel for more interesting TwitCasts to come. We've got some exciting plans ahead. I'm Leo Laporte, the Chief Twit. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
You were talking to a Kevin at the Kit Kat Club?
Yeah.
Is that a strip club?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Not in Toronto, but it is another place.
Yeah, it does sound like a strip. Well, you know, it's the Kit Kat Club was the name of the club in Cabaret, wasn't it?
Oh, was it?
I think it was.
I don't know.
You come and view. No, it's a restaurant. It's a nice restaurant.
It's like a chain of strip clubs in San Jose there.
No, that's the Pussycat. What is that?
There's a Kit Kat Club.
There's a Kit Kat Club and then dude.
Yeah, no, I know what Robert's talking about.
Why does this show always end up talking about strippers?
Hey, when have I ever talked about strippers?
Wait. Oh, Roger, that time with the bottle and the thing and the people.
Oh, remember? No. Hey, remember, Roger, what was the name of that Italian
place? Buca di Beppo?
Buca di Beppo.
You're the one that bought that
in
stuff,
the Pope
not me.
Room. Yeah, but you put it on the Pope's head.
You put it on the Pope's head.
I did?
Yes.
And the waitress came by and said that.
And yelled at you.
She said, you can't put that on the Pope's head.
We're a family restaurant.
A buca, please.
Do you still have that stuff, Roger?
Oh, yeah.